Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming on today and listening to our podcast at the FemNation. And I wanted to introduce to you Sherry Smith. She's going to talk to us a little bit about her business today. I'm really excited to bring her on because her journey is very unique, as all of ours are, but her successes are huge. But success doesn't come without going through the journey. So I'm happy to share her story with you. And Sherry, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. So tell me a little bit about your business. And then also in there, give us a little bit of, the beginning stages.
Okay. Well, I sell on eBay and I started in 2006. And I do this for my full-time income. And what got me started really was my husband and I had just gotten married. And I had a sales job where I was working 11-hour days because we had to make that mortgage and the money was good. I was totally strung out on stress. So we had a talk and decided that our family life was more important than the money, although it was a close one. And I quit that job not knowing what I was going to do, and the mortgage was still coming every month. So, but in the meantime, before I got another job where I thought I'd probably have to be kind of miserable to make enough money,
sure.
I started selling on eBay because I had this jewelry that I had from before we were married. So I thought, no need for that anymore. And I started listing it on eBay and it started selling. And I thought, I'm going to clear out the house before I get another job. And my husband was very outgoing. So he'd tell people about me all the time and, oh, my wife's doing this and now she's selling on eBay. And
word of mouth, yes. Helping you out with that.
And he'd come home and say, honey, you have to call this person. She wants you to sell her used Coach purses or, this gal has a bunch of designer clothing she wants you to sell. So I thought, oh my gosh, if I can make enough money and make this a business, I don't have to go get another job. And I never had to go get another job. And that was February 2006.
So you've had a little bit of a kind of a run with this entrepreneurial journey, huh?
Yep. A run, a trip, a fall.
Exactly. Exactly what it is. Did you ever expect that you're going to be an entrepreneur? Did you ever have, was it just like, oh, I want to go do this? Or was it just like you started down the road of, selling a couple of items, those jewelry items. And then all of a sudden you were like, wait a minute, this is something. And how'd that work out for you?
I never thought I'd have my own business. And the funny thing is when I was 18 and I went to work for this woman who had her own business, she said, you need to work as the admin. And I thought, admin, I'm going to college. And she's like, Sherry, you'll never know how to run your own business if you don't know all the basic steps. So it's funny because, when my husband came home and told me to call those people, and I thought, oh my gosh, I know how to do the office stuff. And I know how to do the accounting because I did her accounting. So it was all a real surprise for me. And like, I'm going to try this. But I never had thought I was going to do that.
What did it feel like when you decided, you're going to try it? And then as you progressed into thinking that maybe this could be a business, maybe this could be a thing, what was that feeling like?
It was so exciting. And I thought, I don't think this is going to work, but I have to try it. I have to do everything on my part. Right. And then if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But it's not going to not happen because I didn't try.
Right.
And it felt so exciting.
And it is exciting. It's actually a really exciting journey. What was the part that made you feel like, oh gosh, I'm not sure if this, if I can do this or this is going to work? Just the fact that it, you know, what was it? What was that thought process?
I think it was almost too good to be true.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. What's too good to be true? What was that thought about, hey, how is this going to work? How is this going to be real?
Yeah, I thought for me to make enough money to make our California house payment, that's where we lived at the time. And I knew that it really had to be substantial to work. And I just didn't, to me, it's a dream to be able to be my own boss and make our own decisions and think, oh, let's try this. And be have the freedom to be creative and go in different directions. I felt like that was a too good to be true thought. And plus the idea of working from home. We wanted to start a family, and that's what really triggered quitting that 11-hour a day job, because I thought, why start a family if I'm going to be miserable and at work for 11 hours and come home all exhausted and stressed out? So part of this dream was like, oh my gosh, can I work from home and then have like a family life?
Then you can have almost the best of both worlds. It almost seems like the best of both worlds couldn't possibly exist.
Yeah, it does. It did feel that way. Like it'd just be a dream.
When did it dawn on you that this was real, that you had made a business and that you were actually successful at it, at doing what you were doing?
Well, I had to make enough money within a month for me to not go look seriously for another job. So I was scrambling around selling all of our stuff that we didn't use. But then I started selling for other people. And I mean, truly, it was within a month where I thought, okay, I made that month. And then the next month, I made enough. And then this thing happened. So occasionally we had these big deals come through. And that first one was that my husband wanted to get my sister a keyless door lock for Christmas. Yes. And I thought, well, that's $100. But whenever he was being generous, I didn't want to bring that down. So I just said, okay. So we went to Home Expo at the time. That was that Home Depot other store.
Yep.
And the person rang it up and it was $22. And my husband's like, you made a mistake. That's not enough. It must be more than that, because he was ultra honest. And I never even got to find out how honest I was, because he said it so fast. But I'm just kidding. I would have said something. So that's how we found out. The cashier said, well, actually, we haven't had a chance to physically mark them down, but all those door locks are marked down. So we bought out that whole store and we bought out all of California's stores.
Oh my goodness.
And we made thousands of dollars on those door locks. So that was this big thing that happened in the same year that I had started the business.
Right.
And that same kind of thing didn't really happen again, but it seems like over the years, different things have just, that we've tried have worked.
Sure.
And I even had a recent one where I thought, well, that's not going to happen, but I'm going to do everything I can to try it. And that happened. And that was in the last month.
That's resilience though. I mean, for you to go out there and just say, hey, let's take these and, you know, let's see what we can do with this business. But also opening those doors to being able to have those situations come wouldn't be there if you weren't going down this road anyways. You know, so you have to step your foot into that journey. Talk to me about a very pivotal moment for you in your business and where that shifted you, or what change you made in the business, or if any at all.
Well, it seems like there's constantly times of change with the business. And one example is We were selling for an electronics recycler, and he kept us busy full time. And there was lots of money coming in. And then we just realized our ethics didn't match up, and we stopped working with him, and we had nothing coming. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I actually went to a BNI meeting, and I thought, oh my gosh, I have to market locally and just get more clients and sell for multiple people. Well, that was one. And there have been many, though, where things I'm doing are working, and then all of a sudden, it's like, it's not working anymore, and I have to find a whole new avenue.
How do you search for a whole new avenue?
Well, let me see here. I'm not sure how I go about it. I know the feeling I have inside is like, I need to make some money. I start even sometimes thinking of what it would be like to get a job. Uh-huh. And then I think, oh my gosh, I'd be away from my dog all day. And then I start plugging away at something. So more recently, a year and a half ago, my husband passed away. After we were married for 6 years, he was diagnosed with MS. Mm-hmm. And then 3 years later, he was diagnosed with cancer. And I know I'm jumping around right
no,
now.
No, this is your story.
Okay. So when those things came up, it's funny because we had a plan that we were going to have a family, we're going to have kids, and our life took a different turn. But because I was working from home, I could be completely involved, go to every doctor's appointment, have adventures with him. Sure. And we did that. And we started hiring teenagers to help because I had to spend more time helping my husband. He could no longer do the shipping that he was doing. And the teenagers became our family. So we still got our family, but he did pass away a year and a half ago. And again, because I had my own business, I was able to just up and move from California to Colorado to be near my family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My little brother, his wife, and their four little kids, ages 2, 4, 6, and 8, live here, and I'm in their daily lives. And coming to Colorado, I left all the people that I was selling for behind. So I had to start thinking, what am I going to do now? So I just started plugging away. I went on LinkedIn and I thought of one client I had, and I started doing searches for someone similar in background, in business to them, and just started plugging away at that. And some of them got back to me. And then one said, well, we have this equipment that we're going to be getting rid of on this date. Are you going to be there? And I thought, who does he think I am? Yeah. And I said, what time? And he told me, and I said, okay, well, I'll be flying from Colorado, and I'll see you there. So I flew to California, met with him, and I made a bid on this equipment, which is something I had never done before.
Oh, wow.
And I was awarded the bid. That's the most recent pivotal thing that's happened to me.
Oh my goodness.
So I don't know if I go about it like in desperation and then just fall into things.
You just move forward.
I move forward. I thought, I'm going to fly here. It's costing me all this money because it's last minute.
Sure.
I'm sick on the plane, but I'm going to do everything I have to do. And if I don't get it, I don't get it. But at least I'm showing up and trying.
Absolutely. How has this business changed you on a personal level? Because we all know as entrepreneurs that we're tied to both. There is no, you know, there's not as much of a separation where it's not where you can come, you know, off work at 5 or 6 and then, you know, have a home life or business life, or, you know, versus your business life or your work life versus your personal life. But how have you grown personally because of your entrepreneurship?
So I think things happen, and then I grow, or I've grown and I don't realize it. And then I realize it afterwards. And one example is that, when my husband and I were struggling with his degenerative disease and the ups and downs. And we were just trying to survive, and that we were hiring those teenagers, and people would say things here and there like, wow, you're really making a difference in their lives. And I thought, I don't think so. I'm just trying to survive. I love having them around. We're having fun with them. But I didn't own or realize that part of it. And there was a time when one of the people we were selling for that was bringing in $10,000 a month, that stopped. They had to bring it in-house. And my husband's health was declining. And financially, we were really struggling. And I thought, that's it. I failed. And there was a card on the refrigerator, and I took it off to read it so I could get it off, so I could process it and get it off the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And it was from one of the teenagers. She had gone off to college. And she said, you may not have noticed, but I don't like to take advice from adults, but I have looked up to you and Arlie and have learned so much from you. And not just by what you say, but by how you face life's challenges. And you two are my heroes.
Oh my goodness.
And I know, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is the most important thing. So, and there, and other teenagers as well have written us letters and written me letters. And I thought, as a person, by having my own business, I was able to be there with my husband through all of it. So I don't have regrets. And I've gotten to impact the lives of teenagers and young adults. And now I want to ramp that up.
But so did you realize, and that was when you were making a bigger impact in the world, a bigger impact to the people of those lives?
Yes. I realized that, and also with my husband, with his journey, he was making an impact with people.
Sure.
And I was able to help him with that and take him to events where he was speaking. Sure. And that was awesome. But then it turns out I was impacting these teenagers also.
Right.
So that was just really exciting. And I'm now in Colorado. I found myself two teenagers already. And So my goal is to ramp up my business enough that I can really bring on more teenagers, and then even build a structure to it. Things that I do with them for the community or for other young teens.
What is your big goal? What is your big audacious goal that scares you a little bit, but you want to do?
Okay. My big audacious goal is to really turn this into maybe even a nonprofit where it's stable enough that I can specifically reach out to those in need and help support them, maybe have a work program for teenagers. Not just the teenagers that I've been reaching, but have those teenagers who are mostly from stable homes to help at-risk teens.
Right. So you have a big heart for that.
I do.
Your eBay store is your vehicle.
Yes.
Yes. Tell me some financial pieces to your business. You don't need to give me specific numbers unless you feel inclined to do so. But what was your aha moment when you hit a certain benchmark? What was that benchmark? Was it a six-figure year? Was it a five-figure month? Was it, you know, what was that to you?
So one of them was when we started making $30,000 a month. And I was aware of it because eBay has levels, and that was a platinum level seller.
Yeah.
So we hit that.
That's awesome.
And yeah. And around that time we hit $1 million in total sales.
Oh my goodness.
I looked recently and I'm over $1.9 million in sales now. And I have over 13,000 feedback and 28,000 sales total so far.
Oh my goodness. That's a major accomplishment. I think everybody that's probably, you know, late 30s, early 40s has a good idea of when eBay came on the scene a little bit. And I certainly do. I remember I actually opened my kids consignment clothes store because I saw on eBay when I was going to purchase clothes or whatever for my son. I was scrolling more than anything. He was only about 3 years old at the time, our first. And I remember going on eBay and saying that I could buy a lot of clothes, you know, not a lot like quantity wise, but I could buy a single lot that had, you know, multiple pieces. And I was like, whoa, this is really cool. And then of course my entrepreneurial brain was like, wait a minute, I could do a lot of this and I could actually open up a store and I can get the clothes from eBay because there's a lot of people that have really cool stuff here. And, you know, I mean, my mind was just turning, but eBay was really my first step into the entrepreneurial world as far as a solo business. My husband and I had the construction business together, but I wanted to do something, you know, that kept me with, you know, I could take my kid to the store too. And, you know, he could be with us, but eBay was that. That was where I realized very specifically in 2002 or 2003 that this was something. Hold on a second. You know, so I never dabbled in actually selling on eBay directly, but I was purchasing items. I was one of those early purchasers purchasing items, you know, to fill a store with.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think everybody at this point can say eBay's impacted their life somehow, whether they purchased something or whether they sold something or whether they've made it a business such as you. How many businesses, like big stores, are in eBay? What's kind of the average?
Well, what I know that there's over 2.4 million sellers on eBay who make a part or full-time living selling on eBay. It's more than that though, because that's kind of an older statistic.
My gosh, there's that many that actually make it that make it an income.
Yes. And I've actually trained a lot of people to sell on eBay, over 1,000 people over the years.
Right.
And that was really fun because I got to see each person's different niche. Right. And one gal had 4 children, one who was disabled and she was a single mom. And she was supporting her family by selling on eBay.
Wow. How inspirational. And what an opportunity for people like yourself. I mean, first and foremost, for you to have taken something with just starting with jewelry and making it into the big business that it is at this point, but also for a single mom to be able to raise her family and be there for them at the same time and have the opportunity to create that income.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So tell me about you on your growth level. When did you grow to the point of feeling like you're kind of more of the business boss or the business employee, or do you have a differentiation at all?
Let's see. You mean, from being an employee to being a boss?
No, inside of your business, inside of you, your eBay business, the store, how did you go from being a business boss to a business employee? Like you were another one of the employees, but we all entrepreneurs are an employee to some degree because we all have to stay in that. We're always in that threshold of making sure everything's functioning. But where did you feel that the boss component, where you felt like you were running an actual legitimate business with employees, even though they were teenagers or adults, whoever, you know, however they came across to you guys. But when was that connection that you felt like you were running a business versus just running a side gig?
Well, it's hard to say, but even in the first year, it had to make enough money for me to not go get another job. So I did feel like it was my full-time thing. However, it wasn't until years later when we hired the employees. And it's so funny because I hired one, then she was going on vacation. So she referred her friend to me And suddenly it was like they were multiplying. We would see a neighbor, a kid that we'd known for years that hadn't known that well. And we said, hey, after school, a couple of days, do you want to come over and work? And all of a sudden there were days when we had 6 and 8 people working all at the same time. So I had to have systems in place.
Sure.
And I was starting to feel like that, like I had become a business boss, because we had goals for them, requirements, and we had reviews. We did reviews with them. We made one of them the manager and did the reviews with him present all the time. And it felt pretty legit.
So then that kind of gives me a glimpse into, you know, how you guys had and have, you know, the functionality of having those employees. Because sometimes people say hiring teenagers is not the easiest thing in the world. Sometimes they're unpredictable, they're unreliable. A lot of times you get some really gold stars that come out and just crush it because they are driven to do so. But how has that worked out, bringing on employees, you know, that are younger?
So for me, it's a really good fit because I love kids.
Yes.
I just never knew they were adorable even when they were teenagers.
And me.
Yeah. And what I did even from the beginning, though, was I always had a lot of structure. So I think that works really well with a younger employee component. So in the very beginning, when it was one, I was working side by side by them at all times and overseeing what they were doing and guiding them. As it became more of them, I started to create it was goals, but also like tell them, this is what your, oh, go ahead. What,
boundaries?
Yeah. Not so much boundaries, but requirements. It's like when you're in a sales job and you have this many sales calls you're supposed to make in a day. I would set up, this is how many listings you need to do per hour. And this is how we're going to check that each hour.
Sure.
How much you've done. And so I had a lot of structure and I had goals and I had measurements in place. And then I did see some did flounder without constant directions. So I'd have that person sitting next to me and be telling them exactly what to do. And so I'd find each one's strength and what each one needed.
Nice. They can actually be a lot of fun to work with, for sure. We currently have a couple teenagers, you know, in the house.
Uh-huh.
Not working for me, but in the house, you know. So I know how they can be, but I also know how they can be, you know, on both sides of that coin. And it's helping them. And I'm sure you've heard this back from them, like you said, that they've written back to you and let you know these things. And the one that left you a note on your fridge. But the impact that you made in the bigger picture and how that shaped the goal of what you want to do for your big audacious goal, you know, to make it a nonprofit and make a difference. You had to go through that journey of figuring out what worked for them in order to get to that point, you know, but their lives have been impacted from what you do.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And they're the next generation. So at least you gave them a good start.
Yeah.
The next entrepreneurs, maybe.
Yeah. And the one who left me that note is 21 now. And I brought her with me to eBay Open, their annual convention. And she got to meet the chief marketing officer. And she was blown away and she was super excited. So I do feel like this is a great way for her to next year graduate from college.
Did you have any of them that were like, oh my gosh, I can make a business out of this myself? It was like a light bulb moment?
Yes, I did. One of them who was in calculus in high school at the time and was thinking she was going to be in a scientific kind of area, decided she wanted to get into fashion. And she saw how she could do that, you know, actual ways that she could do that herself.
Yeah.
But she still went to college. So that's a good combination.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's good. She's got a little bit of both worlds there going on. I really feel like you have a lot of untapped potential to even go further. I just feel like there's so much that you've got and so much that you give that I think that there's still so much more to you. But this has been such a fantastic interview with being able to see the human side of creating a business that you weren't even expecting to create. You know, so I appreciate you coming and sharing with us. So,
well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up now. And you can see in the show notes all of the information about Sherry, and you can check her out and see what she grew as a business and how it's progressed. Go ahead and check all those notes out and let us know if you have any feedback on it. Thank you for listening. And until next time, let's keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.